As the storms roll on in the UK, the Mané versus Salah debate rages on in FPL. And game week 26, well, it just goes on and on and on and on. It's FPL family. Good evening, YouTube. What is up, people of YouTube? Welcome to this next episode of FPL Family. This is episode 33, our game week 26. Can we say reaction? There's still lots of action to go in game week 26. It feels like it's
down
been...
game week 26. Literally can't. How long has it been going on now?
The weirdest and longest and most prolonged game week of FPL entire history.
I'm totally over it already.
And there's like, still two games to go.
I was over it by the Man City game being called off last Sunday. And yet somehow we've still got another 3 days of it.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Good evening, guys. I'm Lee. This is Sam. This is FPL Family. Thank you for joining us this evening. We've had Storm Kiara. We've had Storm Dennis, which is really...
Well, Dennis is still happening.
Dennis is still happening. Literally out our window right now, Dennis is in full swing, isn't
he? He's raging.
He is properly upset, Dennis.
He's probably Captain Salah.
More or less upset than Kiara. I would say probably a little bit more upset than Kiara, if anything. He's pretty bad, isn't it?
Dennis is angrier than Kiara was.
Dennis is pretty angry,
Kiara,
but...
Well, down south anyway. Kiara was, you know...
Kiara was up north, wasn't she?
She was a bit calmer. She just blew in, knocked a few trees over and then left. Dennis!
It's caused havoc with FPL. It's caused havoc with the football. I mean, most of the games have gone ahead, obviously save the Man City game. But the windy conditions have led to, let's just say, kind of
weird games.
Yeah, weird games.
Yeah, and games that, you know... Had they not been, I mean, this is a ridiculous comment, but had they not been windy, probably wouldn't have ended up how they were. You know what I mean, though, don't you?
Well, we've had what?
Like that Liverpool game yesterday.
Had that, isn't it?
Yeah, had that not been so windy, I'm pretty sure that game wouldn't have been the way that it was.
Possibly, yeah, possibly.
There was that, like, you know, you were a bit scared to take shots from outside the box because it might just go anywhere.
Yeah. Well, listen, we missed you last week. Because frankly, guys, we did consider coming on. It's like, what are we going to talk about? So we can talk about Dominic Calvert-Lewin for like 5 minutes.
We were going to. The plan was to still go over the break, wasn't it? And then when the City game went, we were like...
No, not really, we've got to talk about it.
We're going to talk about Lundstrom getting a goal for an hour.
And the other thing was that if we did go on last week, it's kind of like, well, the team's already locked in. There's not much you can do about what's coming the following weekend.
And we're not thinking about 27 because you can't until 26 is done.
A bit of a, protracted sort of a weird... As you guys are saying in the long chat, longest game week ever, Pedro.
The long chat is appropriate for the game week 26.
It really has been going on for ages. We're going to try and cast our minds back to last weekend when we're going to discuss Calvert-Lewin. We're going to discuss the Man City game being called off. We might even touch on the implications of them being knocked out of the Champions League. Or not knocked out, banned from the Champions League, potentially for the next two seasons. We might touch on that.
Bring on the Champions League fifth spot. Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Blades, I would say.
Excuse me, who's fifth at the moment?
Right, we're going to talk about how lucky Spurs were today a bit later on. We're going to talk about all the games, guys, as usual. We'll discuss our teams, where we are, thoughts on transfers, and, of course, have a cheeky little look ahead. That was pretty cool. What did you do then? Just flick your glasses open and put them on your... That was the coolest thing you've ever done. Literally. Podcast listeners have not been treated to that absolute gem there. What did you do there? Do that again. I bet you can't do it again.
Oh.
No, you can't. No, it's gone. And the podcast listeners, for the podcast listeners, they're going, what the hell are you talking about? Sam's flicking her glasses open in a really cool... Yeah, all right, leave it. Here's the questions, guys.
Oh, I wish I'd not tried it again now. I should have just gone, no.
That was it. You should have just left it as it was your moment.
Because it was really cool then. Could somebody just crop that beginning bit and just have that?
Just ping that over to Twitter.
Not this rubbish. Ah! Not this rubbish since.
We have to move on, Sam, because we've got FPL to talk about. Guys, thank you to the Instagram community for your questions this evening. If you're not following us over on Instagram, over 4,000 on there, right? 4,100 and something on Instagram?
4,189, I think.
There we go.
Given that I think the last time we live streamed, I was just hitting the 4,000 mark.
Looking good on Insta, looking good. So head over to instagram.com/FPLfamily at the end of the stream. All the links are in the description below if you want to go and follow Sam over on Instagram. You know, you can catch me on Twitter, Sam on Instagram.
Should we let the Facebookers do it next week?
We'll probably get, what, one question from Mark? I'd imagine that's...
No, this Facebook community is up and going.
There we go, guys. Facebook community next week. This time next week.
So follow us on Facebook.
Community questions from the Facebook community. Go follow us over on Facebook where there's absolutely naffle going on. Questions from the Instagram community. Thank you, MUFan123. He is saying, he or she is saying, best budget defender for the next 5 weeks. Bolly from Wolves, Taylor from Burnley, Lascelle from Newcastle, or Stevens from Southampton. So get onto the little white eye above my head. Go answer these questions in the polls. There's the first one from MU Fan. Next question from Josh Rawlins 21. So thank you, Josh, for the question on Instagram. Which goalkeeper to get for the upcoming games? Now, as we well know, Henderson is going to be missing in 28 because of the blank for Sheffield United.
Yeah.
Also going to be missing in 31 because of he can't play against his parent club in Manchester United.
I mean, it might also be another game, of course, if that game goes off in 31, so his double wouldn't be a double, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so if the Man United game is called off in 31 because of FA Cup exploits,
yes,
then not only is he going to miss that game for a blank in from his team, Sheffield
Correct.
United, but he'll also miss whenever the Man United game is rearranged.
Correct.
Potential for him to miss a lot
double.
Of time.
So he'd miss a double, if that makes sense.
Who knows?
So
either
he'd have
way,
a single in a double game week.
Either way, a lot of people asking about
what should we
where do?
Do
I go with Henderson? Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, Henderson's fixture, I think, actually looks all right next week, doesn't it? He's got home, so I think Burnley, maybe.
Yeah, he's got nice fixtures, but two blanks around them.
But a lot of blanks. So, of course, Josh is then asking the question on Instagram, what goalkeeper to get for the upcoming games? Dubravka, Foster, Henderson, who you might stick with, Pope, or Patricio? Notice a lack of McCarthy in there.
No,
McCarthy
in there,
interestingly. So Josh is asking, between those five, and of course you potentially could throw McCarthy in there, but Josh wants to know between those five. Next question on Instagram from Ped... Oh, goodness me, how do I say this? Pediduru, I think is how you say that. Thank you for sending all these ones over with the difficult names to me. Pediduru.
To be fair, I didn't look at who they were from. I just thought, that's a good question. Ping.
Yeah, well, Pediduru has had enough of Vardy, Sam. He's had enough. He's saying, best replacement for Jamie Vardy. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Raul Jimenez, Danny Ings, Roberto Firmino, or Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. So who out of those five do you guys think is the replacement for Pediduru for Vardy? He's had enough. He's gone. Vardy's out of his team. Next question from Charlie King. Thank you, Charlie, for the question on Instagram. He is saying, who should we prioritise? It's a nice question, actually. The nicest question is, who should we prioritise selling for the blank game week? Now, of course, this time next week, and we will probably touch on it tonight, but this time next week, we'll be talking a lot about game week 28, which is, of course, a blank for the following teams. Man City, Sheffield United, Aston Villa, and Arsenal. So none of those four teams are going to play in 28. So we need to manage our squads around that. And of course, we need to use our bench for the likes of Mr. Lundstrom, if you still got him, for KDB, Aubameyang, if you got him, etc. But Charlie's question is, who would you prioritise selling? So which of these, or which of these clubs, would you consider selling out of first, given those four that I've just mentioned? So would you sell Grealish? Would you go to Aston Villa and target them and say, I want to get rid of Grealish? Would you target your Sheffield United defence and maybe get rid of a Henderson or a Lindstrom or something like that? Man City attack, so a lot of us have got Aguero, Mahrez, KDB, maybe even Jesus. Would you start to think about getting rid of them ahead of 28? Or Arsenal, if you've got any Arsenal at all, if you've got Aubameyang, if you've got maybe even Pepe after today, if you're a lucky Pepe owner, well done, he's finally come good. But if you've got Aubameyang, would you consider selling him?
That's it, though.
That's it for Pepe, he's done.
He's done now.
He's done, that's
his
one game.
He's
celebrated, I tweeted this, he celebrated like he scores every week. Did you notice that? He sort of stood there and give it the old finger up as if it's to say, yeah, me again. I'm like, again? It's the first goal you've scored in ages. Nice to see my Pepe punt coming through, like my Pepe shout. It's probably from 20 game weeks ago.
I was going to say, when the hell did you shout out Pepe? Was it at the
game
beginning?
Before.
I mean, was it the beginning of 26? Because that feels like a lifetime ago.
That was a long
or was
time
it
ago.
Actually like back in game week one?
Game week four, I think it was.
Right,
I said
brilliant.
Pepe would be good.
So it's taken 22 weeks.
There you go. I knew it'd come good, though. No, it'd come good. There we go.
Excellent.
So there's a question from Charlie King. Get into the comments. Get into the little white eye guys above my head. Who would you prioritise selling ahead of blank game week 28? Grealish and Villa, Sheffield United defence, Man City attack, or Arsenal if you have any? There we go. There we go. So those are the questions for this evening. Let's say hello to a few people, shall we? Get into this. There's the Twitter on the left-hand side. If you're not following us over on Twitter, at FPL Family. And of course, at FPL Family over on Instagram. And just search FPL Family on Facebook as well, as we're on over there as well. Garfield Rob is in. He says, big up Pepe. Big up Pepe. There we go. Can't big him up. Sorry, Garfield, I can't. But if you had him, fair play. FPL Tips is here. Harry, how are you doing? Good evening. Very nice to see you. Good evening from Trinidad and Tobago, Brian Springer says. Good evening, Brian. How are we doing? El Pipe is here. He says 4,192 followers on Insta, FYI. So, Sam, you've gained a few since we've come on. So, thank you, guys.
There you go. Sensational. Got three more.
At the FPL Family over on the old Instagram.
We'll get to 10K, but...
You can swipe up when you get to 10K,
yes,
can't
you?
Yes,
that's why I want to get to 10K. I'm really excited about the swipe up thing. It's taking a while.
We'll get there.
Don't follow us on Instagram. Could you please go over there? Follow us on Instagram, because I really want to be able to swipe.
FPL Tips and Ari Man, a few others are saying, we're here for the cat. Lee, what are you doing here? You promised us the cat.
Yeah, the cat. Did you tweet my picture of Archie?
Well, I tweeted the cat and said the FPL Family tonight is coming courtesy of Archie and Sam. Because the cat will probably give better insight than me anyway.
Later on, I'll let him in.
Later on, he can come in. Give us some
tips. We'll get through this. When we get to the polls at the end, I'll open the door and get the cat in.
There we go. Man 18. Where's the cat, Lee? Yeah, I love it. Thank you, guys. Kiddus is here. How are you doing, Kiddus? John O'Halloran is here. Sorry. How are you doing? Good evening. Liam Healy is here. Liam, how are you doing? Good evening. Very nice to see you. Tom Gravgard is here. He's saying, I was promised a cat. Where's the cat? Don't let the cat in.
Archie.
No, don't let the cat in. Forget it. Rajaram is here. Pepe joke, he said. Absolute joke. Reminiscent of the Wildcats, which, yeah, I think. So when you went
don't
on the Livecats...
Don't mention Kurt.
When you went on the Livecats wild stream, the Wildcats live stream, I should say, last week, Kurt bought in
ago.
Pepe. It feels like a long time ago,
but
he bought
him for 25, didn't he? We all laughed at him and said, why have you done
absolute
this?
Absolute shout, by the
and
way.
And then what's happened this week? You obviously heard me laughing at him.
There we go.
Obviously thought, all right, I've got to get her back now.
There we go. Alex Mitchell, he says, Gomez on FPL, so underrated. Yes, talk about consistency from the Liverpool defence, which we'll be talking about a bit later on, no doubt about it. Aaron Chen, good evening, how are we doing? FPL Schwartz is here. Martin is in, how are we doing? Alex Mitchell is in, how are we doing? Dominic Jervis is here, how are we doing, Dom? Taylor Eckhart. Tactical Foul is in. MU Fan TV is here. Good luck for tomorrow, MU Fan TV. Tracy Holt, our former Manager of the Month. Tracy, how are we doing? Very nice to see you. And a whole host of you guys in. A whole host. 231 of you in. So, guys, thank you for joining us tonight on FPL Family. So much to discuss, Sam. So many games to get through. We've got to start. There's our Twitter. Let's go back to the screen here. There's the Twitter at FPL Family. Let's go over here. Let's change the screen. There's the Instagram. Quick plug for the Instagram. 4189. I bet if I hit refresh, I bet that's gone up. Come on, guys. I believe in you. Yes. 4193. Beautiful. The power of a live stream. The power of a live stream.
I mean, there's 230 of you. Not all of you can be following me on Instagram, surely.
There must be a few of you. Let's get into the games. Here we go. And it still says Arsenal and Newcastle nil there. So this has obviously been open some time. So I probably need to refresh this. And I need to go back. That's next week. So let's go back. Let's have a look. Right. Where should we start? Can we cast our minds back?
I don't even know if I can remember.
Can we cast our minds back? Or can we go... I think let's cast our mind back to about 4 hours ago when Aston Villa played Spurs at Villa Park. Aston Villa 2, Spurs 3. In what was frankly...
Bonkers.
A bonkers game. It was as open as hell. There was own goals. There was centre-half scoring strikers' goals. There was... It was just absolutely bonkers. Missed penalties and all sorts. So give us your Spurs view and then I'll see if I can... balance that out a little bit because you often say on these live streams under Mourinho Spurs can either attack or defend.
No, never both.
Never both. Doesn't feel like Spurs can do both well. You can do one or the other well. Yeah. And today was definitely a good attacking day. Certainly not a good defending day.
Right. It took me 6 attempts to shoot the Insta reaction to that game because I kept running out of time because there was so much to talk about. Because it was so ridiculous. And I'm not even sure. And to get what you've just said, it was an attacking day. But I don't even think we were that great attacking-wise today. We were wasteful. I am starting to... it pains me to say this, but Son is really starting to get on my nerves.
Yeah.
Because he is...
13 points today in FPL.
No,
what's to moan about?
No. Because...
The Son owners are delighted, aren't they?
Oh, and they should be.
Yeah.
Because it's 13 points and I, you know, don't take anything away from it from an FPL point of view. But he was terrible today. He had a terrible game. He was not... He does not play as a team member. He's so selfish. It is unbelievable.
Do you know what?
He's
he actually
so
reminds
weak.
Me... I said this to you during the game. He reminds me a little bit of Mo Salah.
A bad one. A bad Salah.
Well,
no, a bad Salah.
Yeah, maybe. Because maybe. At least but Salah, there's that selfish streak in both of them, isn't there?
There is, but at least with Salah, he has got his head up and he's aware that the other players are there. He sometimes chooses not to pass to them and be selfish, but he is aware that where Mane and Firmino and that are. Salah, with Son, he is literally blinkered. It's like he gets the ball and it's fully about him. And sometimes that's great. And from an FPL point of view, that is obviously what you want from a player because you want them to be the one that's scoring the goals. But equally, there were a number of chances today where if he'd have just looked up, there were teammates in better positions than he was. And if he'd have just played the ball into them, it would have been an FPL assist for all of the Sun owners and would have given more in terms of the Spurs as a whole.
So some stats to back that up then. Son easily top for shots this game week with seven. The next best... it's five. Richarlison, El Ghazi as well. So there's plenty on five, but Son easily top this game week so far with seven. So in FPL, if you're obviously if you've got in this game week, happy days. You get the 13 points and all right. I agree with you by the way. I think he had a bad game. Son didn't want to pass it. Didn't get his head up enough. And I do feel for him a little bit because I feel like he's being asked to do a job that's not his natural job. Right? He's being asked to do the Kane role, which is the big strong. Hold it up, bring others into play to a degree up front there, which is not his game. He prefers to be the one off on the left, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, what's to complain about in FPL? Got the penalties, obviously on penalties, because he got one in the FA Cup as well as this one.
Yeah, he is on penalties.
And then scored in the last minute.
I'm just...
Would you bring him in FPL or not? No?
I just can't stand watching him at the moment. I can't... And it's ridiculous because that's something like six returns in the last six for him now. So he's on a really good run. And I know I am probably cutting my nose off to spite my face with not owning him. But equally, I watched that game today and like Bergwijn I thought was outstanding. Dele Alli I thought had a great 60 minutes or so, went off a bit towards the end. But
Dele Alli actually top for under XG underachievers.
Well, he should have had a hat-trick in the first half.
With minus 1.21. So what does that mean in real terms? That means... probably a bit unlucky, maybe you could say a bit wasteful.
Yeah.
One thing's for sure, definitely getting in all the right areas to get chances, and on another day, could have had a hat-trick in that first time.
Yeah, and so I'm obviously on Alli, and I'm not getting rid of him. And I don't want to own two of them. I feel like I don't want to own two Spurs. I don't trust them. Look, it was a ridiculous game of football. Aston Villa, I think, should count themselves incredibly unlucky not to get something out of that game. I thought Samatta was absolutely excellent today.
Before we go on to Villa, who else in that Spurs side do you think is a potential FPL asset? Now, we've talked before about Gio Lo Celso.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that he looked a lot better. Spurs themselves looked a lot better when he came on. But I still feel like he's a little bit of the playmaker. I still feel like he's a little bit of a Modric kind of player in that kind of slightly withheld role. However... Maybe. I do like Bergwijn. And what I particularly like about him is the way that he's got up to the pace of the Premier League quite quickly. Well, not only is he quick, but the game is quick. The Premier League is quick. And he seems quite well suited to it. Because not only is he quick, he's not like the fastest, but he's reasonably quick. But he's hard to knock off the ball as well. Notice on that break that he had, I think he got through towards the end of the game. I think it was Danny Drinkwater or somebody. Now, Danny Drinkwater's a reasonable sized guy. Bergwijn, probably a little bit shorter, but just sort of shrugged him off and sort of carried on through. So, has seemed to have hit the ground running, Bergwijn.
And in the kind of polar opposite of what I was just saying about Son, he's always got his eyes open, he's looking around, and he's always kind of thinking about where's the ball going, who am I sending it to, or where am I going? I also think that he seems to, because sometimes when you get new boys in the squad, they just take a little bit of time to kind of...
At any club, right? Yeah.
Yeah, not just to get into the Premier League, but to get into the actual squad themselves and to kind of get used to their teammates and who their teammates are and have that kind of banter around them. Whereas his Instagram is full of kind of nonsense banter that he's having on the coach this afternoon.
And he's settled into the club as well.
Yeah, and I like, as a Spurs fan and as an FPL manager, I kind of like that because it's making me think, well, he's settled well into the Premier League. He's settled into the pace of the Premier League, but he's also settled into the club very well. It seems like he's going to be getting regular starts. I mean, he's had two opportunities to start him and he started them in both because obviously he couldn't start in the replay against Southampton last week because he wasn't a Spurs player for the first leg. So the two games that he has been able to play him, he's played. Now, I think what we'll see, obviously with Champions League season again now starting for Spurs on Wednesday night, is we're going to have to see some kind of changes, I guess, in Spurs. Now, we don't have the personnel necessarily to do wholesale changes, and we need to be doing well in both competitions is the reality.
Yeah.
So I expect he will play in that. It'll be interesting to see whether over the next few weeks we start to see some FPL returns from him, because I know we got them in his debut and we got nothing today, but I do think at 7.5 million he's a really nice option, and I still like Gio, but I let's see.
All right, Bergwijn's still a bit expensive for a few of you guys in the live chat. 7.5, you'd want to start seeing a few goals before you maybe go there. LFC BSFC is saying Son 13-pointer. He's on pens. He takes the corners. Only one worth having in that Spurs team. J-Boy saying happy as Larry after Son captain. And AV Moodley is saying Son an absolute banker. Yeah, so despite the fact, I think we agree, and maybe you guys can tell us in the live chat and get in the comments if you're watching the replay, how do you think Son played today?
Terrible.
Personally, I don't think he had a good game at all. Obviously missed the penalty as well. But listen, 13 points, not to be sniffed at, and still a reasonable differential.
I think here's they all do that.
Here's the fixtures for Spurs going forward. Let's have a look at them. Chelsea away next at Stamford Bridge. Wolves at home. Burnley away. Manchester United at home. West Ham at home. I would say that's a pretty mixed bag. Chelsea away is not easy.
Particularly given we play Wednesday night. We've got to play lunchtime Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. And Wolves, obviously, a difficult game. Burnley away, are they starting to show a bit of form? And let's, you know, Burnley can keep a clean sheet. Nick Pope has showed us that in previous weeks.
Yeah.
And then Manchester United at home, which is always a big game. And the battle for fourth stroke fifth, given what's not going on, is on. And the Mourinho factor as well. So there's four games there where I don't think that I'd want to dive in on Spurs right now. I don't think that I would be happy spending 9 point something on Son. I don't think I'd be happy spending 8 point something on Ali, or even 7 point something on Bergwijn, or 7 point something on Moura. I just don't feel like there's enough. I can't see you scoring two or three goals in any of those games.
Well, it depends if he wants to defend or attack, doesn't it? Let's be realistic.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
depends what Mourinho prioritises in those games. I think the Man City factor may come into play at the moment, because suddenly that Champions League door, if they stay banned, is wide open again in a way that it hasn't been for the whole season. So that's an incentive for Mourinho and Spurs to kind of kick on. But for me, Son is absolutely far too expensive. And I appreciate everything that you're going to say about, yeah, he got 13 points today. And as FPL managers, we don't need a good performance. We just need points returns. And he absolutely provided that today. But okay, he's not the Son he was or is when Kane plays. That's my opinion.
Steve Winyard, hello Steve, good evening. He's saying Son is a hold but not a buy, which I would totally agree.
I think
that summed it up absolutely right. MU Fan TV, if you look at the teams Son is facing, he can score in all of those because they're teams that are going to come out against you and you can hit them on the break, etc, etc. So I think if you've got him, well done, 13 points, keep him. But he's not a buy for me. Aston Villa in that game, again, everything coming through Grealish. Although I will agree with your comment that you made before. Samatta.
Yeah.
And forgive me, I don't even know what his first name is, this guy.
It's just Samatta.
Definitely gives him something. Definitely gives him a different dimension. A better player than Wesley, from what we saw of Wesley's when he was around.
I said in my interaction earlier, before, I've said that I wouldn't own Grealish because it was just the Jack Grealish show, and it's basically Aston Villa are Jack Grealish. Today, I felt like Aston Villa were Jack Grealish and Samatta. The two of them were definitely... Aston Villa were far better today, and I thought he was at the heart of that. He looks really good, and I think, you know, moving forward, if it wasn't for a blank in 28... given where they are in the league, they have to start getting returns. They have to start getting goals. And I think he will do that. But they've got blank in 28, so he's obviously not going to come in anytime soon. But as a wildcard pick towards the sort of the latter part of the season, when they've got to be scoring goals and winning games, I think he could be a really nice pick.
Yeah, well, the fixtures for Villa obviously look pretty difficult. Southampton away, which according to Fantasy Football Scout is a blue fixture. I'm not sure I agree with that. I think Southampton is a tricky game. Then, of course, it's the blank. Then they're away at the King Power Stadium against Leicester. Then home to Chelsea. Away at Newcastle, which again is kind of a pale blue. But you know what Newcastle, despite getting battered today at the Emirates, we know Newcastle at home are a different beast altogether. So I'm not sure that I'd be bringing in Samatta, despite the fact I think he's a nice kind of differential. If you owned Grealish, how would you feel about him ahead of that run of fixtures, including obviously that blank in 28?
See, this kind of answers that Paul's question, because I think if I owned Grealish right now, he'd, even on the back of the performance that we've seen today, he would be one that I would get rid of ahead of 28.
Would you?
Yeah, simply.
Looks great again today, but though. What a baller this kid is.
There's no denying that. Like, I don't disagree with that. I think he's a great player. My concern is those fixtures are tough. All right, well, I've just said that they have to win them. They have to start picking up points and they have to start scoring goals. That's true. But then they've got this blank alongside tricky fixtures. I think he would be the one that you're probably least likely to have value tied up in. So you can bring him back when the fixtures change and when we get through the blank.
Yeah.
He feels like an easy one to take out and replace, whereas some of them are going to be much more difficult. The likes of KDB, you're not going to want to sell him in reality, probably, because your value is invested in him. And then if you want him back after that blank fixture in 28, it's going to be hard. So
if Villa go down, where will he be next season, Jack Grealish?
Take your pick, because I think there'll be a load of clubs in for him.
I think he's a quality player, and I think Southgate's got to be looking at him for the summer.
If he doesn't get on that plane with England, then Southgate has got problems.
Good. Well, I think you're absolutely right. Dan, thank you for the comment. The volume's betterly. Yeah, just to adjust it there. A few of you guys saying it was quite loud. Probably because I'm shouting as usual. Maybe you're getting too excited about Spurs. So just turn it down a little bit. Tell us if that's good, guys, or if that's good, bad or indifferent. And I can change it again if need be. So Villa, I think as a Grealish owner, I think I'm a hold. Outside of that, I'm not going to be investing anywhere else yet because of those fixtures, because of the blank. There we go. So Villa 2, Spurs 3, an absolutely bonkers game.
Good game though, wasn't it?
It was a good game.
It was nice to watch a game that was actually exciting for a change. There's been a lot of games lately that have been a bit like, because of the weather or because of kind of other factors, they've been a bit,
Well, a game that we waited, it felt like forever for, was Wolves and Leicester on that Friday night.
What a non-event
on Valentine's Day. And it felt like we waited ages for that game. And actually, we got the complete opposite to the Spurs-Villa game, which was very entertaining. We got a bit of a dull sort of 0-0.
It bored me. There was the first football match I've watched in ages where I was bored.
Yeah, it wasn't a great game, was it?
No.
How do you feel about...
You're going to ask me about Vardy now, aren't you?
I am going to ask you about Jamie Vardy, because we've both got him. Quite a few of the guys watching, I'd imagine, have got Jamie Vardy too. The poll question, I can't remember who asked it, but clearly they're asking the question about who to get in for Vardy. So they've already made their decision there.
I don't know what to do.
How are you feeling about him?
No, this is my biggest quandary right now. Jamie Vardy, to me, is an anomaly at the moment, because...
If he blanked in 28, he'd be gone, wouldn't he? He'd be out straight away.
Oh, 100%.
But because he plays that Norwich game, you just feel like you should keep him.
But it's not just that. The fixtures are really nice. And I keep looking at these fixtures thinking, why the hell would I take Jamie Vardy out? Look at the fixtures, they're lovely. And then I look at Jamie Vardy and go, you've absolutely done nothing since the turn of the year, apart from miss a penalty, which I'm still bitter about because they're mad at me when it happens, and get one assist. And it's like, I just don't...
And I tell you what, you talk about eye tests, right? We can talk about stats and shots on target and how few of those he's had since the turn of the calendar year. He massively failed the eye test for me on Friday night. He was not in that game at all.
No, but a lot of that wasn't to do with him. A lot of that was to do with Leicester. They just the midfield and he were not connected at all. It was like he was just on his own. Like, how often did the ball make its way into a place where you knew Jamie Vardy would be? Like, when I was watching the game, it was like, you'd look at Jamie Vardy and he was in the right places, but the ball was never coming to him. So he was getting frustrated and then trying to drop out and drop deep. A bit like Kane was doing under Poch at the beginning of the year. Like, was starting in all the right places and then dropping deep when he was getting annoyed. And then you were getting Jamie Vardy picking up the ball in the wrong places or not touching it at all for like minutes and minutes at a time. You just wouldn't see him at all, which is so contrasted to what we were seeing at the end of 2019 and like the back end of the Christmas period. Like, we had that run where he was just...
It was phenomenal, wasn't he?
Yeah, and so I'm in this real quandary as to what I do about him, as to whether he stays based upon the fixtures or whether I let the form win and I just take him out.
Let's see what you guys are saying about Leicester in particular, and in particular Vardy. Let's see what you guys are saying. Leicester without Ndidi doesn't work, Dan is saying, FPL chance. And I think you're spot on with that. Certainly defensively, they don't look as good without him shielding the back four. But I think he also gives them something in terms of working through the transitions from defence to midfield. He's the glue that holds that together. So I think Dan is absolutely spot on with that. I don't know. He was due to be back a couple of weeks ago, wasn't he? And got a bit of a setback and all the rest of it. So, you know, who knows? I think it's unknown right now.
If he could be back for 27, that'd be nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because then I might keep Vardy.
Kevin Mellier saying, Maddison's stinking my team out. Yeah, Maddison.
See, no, I think that's an easier decision, isn't it?
He's got to go, isn't he? He's got to go.
If you've got one of the Leicester midfielders, I just get rid. If I owned Maddison instead of Vardy, I just take him out.
Yes, I think so. Let's see what else you guys are saying. Harvey Barnes is the one Leicester player he's got left, Jake Francis is saying. I think if you've got Harvey Barnes,
he's been great
for you for the last 2 weeks. I think you're okay. You say you wouldn't mind that, but that's completely contrasting what you just said. So you're saying Leicester is a team all
cheaper.
Over the shop.
Because he's cheap. So right. With a nice run of fixtures, Harvey Barnes is cheap. He's not taking up... So
have
with
they got a nice run of fixtures?
Leicester have.
Let's have a look. Leicester City's fixtures, let's have a look. Man City, so no, definitely not. Norwich away, Villa at home, Watford away, Brighton at home. Okay, so all right, so after City...
After you get through Man City, it's blue for a while.
Watford away is not easy, by the way.
But you run that ticker through for a while, and actually you see they've got a nice stretch of fixtures, which I would want to own Jamie Vardy for. Now, Maddison, definitely not. He hasn't shown enough. But Harvey Barnes has had the form through this difficult patch for Leicester, and is significantly cheaper, so he's not taking up as much of your budget that you could reinvest elsewhere. That's my view on Harvey Barnes. I would keep him, but with Maddison, I'd just be gone.
Okay, all right. And so Babani is saying, what about Soyuncu then, Sam? So they're not keeping many clean sheets. You know, might be thinking about holding on to Vardy, given a bit of, you know, maybe some sentimental feeling there pre-Christmas. And if you want to hold on to Harvey Barnes, maybe you're saying for value's sake, I think we're saying Maddison, get rid. I think we're saying Perez, don't even go there. the defence. So Soyuncu in particular. How are
we
feeling
about
him?
I took him out this week.
Okay.
Typical that, wasn't it? I didn't see Wolves not scoring. And I've been so frustrated as a Soyuncu owner of late with Leicester's just terrible, terrible defending. So I took him out. I swapped him for Lascelles, who I was never going to play this week. So that was fine. He's just sat on my bench this week. But because I had two transfers and I didn't want to burn one.
Okay.
I feel like, the Leicester clean sheets, I just don't trust
without Ndidi, they don't look there, do they?
No.
They're just not quite right.
And I think that this clean sheet was more by luck than it was judgment. I don't think that this was necessarily a well-earned... If anybody was going to win this game, it would have been Wolves, not Leicester. And I think the clean sheet was actually mainly kept because Soyuncu just threw his body in the way of stuff a few times towards the end of that game.
Yeah.
Like it was just like Soyuncu just flying through the air at the ball. And, you know, it was unlucky. But
well, they do have a problem now because not only is Ndidi not fit, but obviously Choudhury got sent off in that game. So he's now going to serve a suspension. Now, a lot of you guys are saying, you know, Choudhury is a championship player, tactical foul is saying... I tend to agree. I don't think he had a good game at all, Choudhury, and I'm struggling to think of a time when I looked at him and thought, yeah, you're a really decent CDM. I hadn't seen it. I hadn't seen him. I appreciate he's a young player. He's a young English player, so I'm going to get behind him if
just
he's any good.
Decision,
but
wasn't it?
Just don't see it right now with him. I really don't. Certainly not on the level that Ndidi's on.
No.
So without either of those two, I think Rodgers is a bit criminally short of a centre defensive midfielder, which given that, you know, we've already talked and Dan was saying about how that helps Leicester get out of defence and through to midfield. Although they're at home to Man City next week, that could be a real key area for that game in game week 27 when Leicester travel to the Etihad to Man City against, you know, that midfield three for City, regardless of motivations and the league's done and all that sort of stuff that we've discussed before with City, we know what that midfield engine for City is like. If they purr against that midfield three for Leicester, which is going to be a bit all over the place potentially, that could be trouble for the Foxes. Could
totally
be trouble.
Agree
there
with
we
you.
Go. Wolves, for their part, actually got some really nice fixtures coming up. So another reason why I think Soyuncu owners and maybe the owners of Leicester defenders were a little bit lucky to get that clean sheet was because Willy Bolly scored what was in my mind a brilliantly worked goal. Wolves, it was a fantastic goal, only for it to be ruled off by a very, very dubious VAR call where someone's heel was slightly offside. I mean, let's not even go there with VAR.
And it was going the wrong way as well.
But every corner, every set piece that Wolves took, that either Moutinho took or Neves took, aimed always at Bolly. He was the one they always looked for from set pieces. So given the fact that he's come back into that team and he's made them more solid at the back, back-to-back clean sheets now for Wolves, for the first time in goodness knows how long, 4.7 in the game, is looked for on set pieces and is a goal threat. Tell me a reason not to get Willy Bolly right now. I can't think of one. I think he's one of the best defenders to have in the game right now.
I won't give you one. I think he's a great option. I think he. I think the only potential thing that we obviously need to consider is that Europe starts again this week and obviously into next week. That's the only thing that we should maybe just factor into our equations. But for me, like watching that game, there were a couple of highlights. Bolly was absolutely one of them. I thought he was absolutely excellent, and I thought that goal was an absolute travesty. But there you are. That's just my view. And I thought the other two highlights were Moutinho and Traore when they came on. I thought the pair of them, particularly Traore, was outstanding when he came on. And I thought Moutinho,
good.
No, I think so. Yeah, look at the rest of that game and look at how well he did when he came on.
Okay.
I think if you put him in
he
the...
He did give him something, I will say that.
He gave him something different, as did Moutinho. And when they came on, that was when we had those two really, really good opportunities towards the end of the game when Soyuncu was like literally just, I'm going to throw myself in the way.
Yeah.
So I think for me, we're now back in that. Bolly, I think, is an absolute no-brainer. He seems to me to be that way. I just got to work out which of my defenders is going in order for him to come in.
Who do you think you'll get rid of?
Well, the Lord's still on the chopping
block. Mason
Holgate,
haven't you? Their fixtures Holgate, turn, don't they?
Yeah, Holgate could go down. Could go for Bolly. That's one.
Bit of money in the bank for that.
I've got like $4 million in the bank. I've got Lundstrom.
So much money.
I've got Lundstrom still. Who? I mean, that's another question entirely. And then I've got who else have I got? I can't even remember. Lascelles and Trent and someone else.
Aaron Chen is saying triple up with Wolves, Bolly, Traore and Jimenez. Is that too much?
Maybe.
I think
the double up is definitely on. Yeah. And I think you just have to decide whether it's Bolly. For me, the double up is Bolly and then either
one of the other two,
Traore or Jimenez. And I will bundle Moutinho back in there because I still do really think he's a great asset.
Okay.
So it's then one of those three. Now you can, financially speaking, absolutely could have the triple up and that would make perfect sense money-wise and the fixtures are there. I just don't know if it's a bit Wolves overkill. Certainly think the double up is there though.
Yeah, Jimenez in the top 10 for, again, XG underachievers at 0.49. So I can remember at least one header. He should have scored that header. I agree with you. He in particular came alive when Traore came on. Traore did give him something, but he gave Jimenez a real boost because I think they've got that understanding. Those two,
what was
they?
That stat when we were watching the game and they said something like of all of the pairs like Salah and Firmino.
Yeah, those two are right.
All of the big ones. No, they're top.
Right. Okay.
By a long way, Traore and Jimenez together as a partnership, they're top in the league for the. I can't remember. I'll look it up again and then I'll put it out on Instagram and you can tweet it.
Okay.
But they're top, above Salah and Firmino.
Eru is saying Doherty far better than Bolly. Now,
but the money.
Could have had the assist there for the Bolly goal, potentially. I wouldn't say he's far better than Bolly.
He's not
you?
The amount of money better, either.
No, he's not worth 1.3, 1.4, whatever he is now. Because Doherty's sort of north of 6 million, isn't he? So you're going to pay through the nose for Doherty. Excuse me, and his potential and his assist potential, but I do think Bolly's got goal for it every single time they look for him.
I do.
So there we go. And so the Wolves fixtures, let's have a quick look at those before we move on because I think they're looking pretty good. Norwich at home looks very tasty indeed. Spurs away in 28 is a very intriguing game because there's going to be, you know, Spurs, it depends what Spurs turns up, the attacking Spurs or the defending Spurs. Who knows?
It's
right
at
now.
Home. It won't be the defending one. I put it that way.
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's
and
at
I think,
home. We'll attack. They'll score.
And given how bad both you and Aston Villa looked at corners today and set pieces, like Lloris was all over the shop from corners.
Lloris
today.
Would just go out and flail an arm at it.
Yeah. Bolly.
Please don't get me started on Lloris.
Put in Bolly's head on a few corners in game week 28 against a really ropey Hugo Lloris, I think could happen. And then Brighton at home, West Ham away, Bournemouth at home. I think the fixtures for Wolves look sensational, and I'm with you. For me, going into next game week, I suspect I will have Bolly. I suspect it will be Holgate that makes way for next week.
I'm going to stick with
Adama Traore. I do like Jimenez, for sure. I think if I was clean slate now, wild card, I'd have Bolly and Jimenez. But I've got Traore. It's too much of a surgery to get rid of him and bring Jimenez in, so I'm kind of okay with him.
Would you take Vardy to Jimenez?
Yes, I would. Yeah, yes, I would. If I had nothing else to do in my team, do you know what I mean? If I had nothing else to do in my team, I think I would, yeah. Would you?
Yeah.
You're thinking about it.
I am thinking about it, yeah. Because it's an easy route for me into the double Wolves.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, we've got so much. We've got so many games to cover, Sam. So many games, and we're already 45 minutes of the way through. Another player that we should consider for our front line, surely now, Dominic Calvert-Lewin with a goal and assist. Cast your mind back to Saturday, the 8th of February, Sam. It feels like absolutely ages ago. Calvert-Lewin with a goal and assist. Not the three bonus points. That went to Richarlison, who also got on the score sheet. But 3-1 Everton.
Charleston.
Benteke scoring is a bit like the Almiron moment. You know, we all kind of sat up and went, what? Although he scored, let's just have a word about Jordan Pickford. If that guy is the starting goalkeeper for England in the summer, then we're in trouble, aren't we? We ain't winning anything. But never, he should have saved that. He should have saved, no doubt about it. And on another day, he does. Holgate gets the clean sheet. Sidibe gets the clean sheet. Pickford gets the clean sheet. And we're talking about Everton clean sheets.
Yeah,
however, we not.
Sidibe came on in time, but he would have got the clean sheet.
He did. Sidibe did come in time, so he would have had the clean sheet. But Everton, again, under Carlo Ancelotti, I think I rolled out a stat maybe a couple of weeks ago on this live stream that said
still relevant.
Since Ancelotti came in, if you draw up a Premier League table since he came in, they are second only to Liverpool.
Yeah.
So nothing not to like about Everton right now, I don't think.
But the fixtures are the only thing not to like about Everton right now.
But the fixtures turn, you're absolutely right. So I say the fixtures turn, you tell me how much they turn. So Arsenal away, okay.
Arsenal can score goals.
Arsenal can absolutely score goals.
I think we need to divide Everton here, depending upon whether we're talking about Everton attack or Everton defence.
Because I was going to say, because Dominic Calvert-Lewin can score against Arsenal.
For sure.
But also Holgate and co are going to concede, potentially. Man United at home.
Same.
Probably the same. Chelsea away.
Same.
Liverpool at home.
Same.
Norwich away.
Same.
Probably same. Yeah. So,
and that's the issue, isn't it?
The only game you wouldn't fancy Dominic Calvert-Lewin in there is probably the Liverpool game.
Yeah, and I think for you, because you're doubled up on Everton and you own an attacker and a defender, the attacker deserves to stay, even through that run of fixtures, because although it's a nasty run of fixtures on paper, defensively those teams, bar Liverpool, we leave Liverpool out of it, the rest of them are leaky defensively, and therefore there's no reason to suggest that the likes of Richarlison and Dominic Calvert-Lewin can't get attacking returns in those games. But equally, I don't see Holgate and Sidibe and all of those others keeping any clean sheets. Now, the one quandary that I have about getting rid of Holgate is that there is attacking potential there. We've seen that over the last couple of weeks. Obviously, nothing this time around, but he does have that in his locker. And in this game, if we remember, he was benched and came on in like the very late in the game. So we would think that he's now gone through that benching cycle. And therefore he's going to play. So consistency at start should be there again now. But I just don't see that he's going to keep the clean sheets that I would want or that I think Bolly can offer me in the same period of time.
Okay. Interestingly, Luca Dina top for crosses in this game week so far. So again,
you just got to pay
banging
more.
Banging him in left, right and centre.
We've got to pay more for him. And then so are you going to bring Luca Dina in for those fixtures?
No, you're definitely not. I wouldn't have thought so.
No. If you've got him, I'd be more likely to hold him than I would Holgate.
Okay.
Simply because of the crossing set pieces stuff.
So if you're on Dominic Calvert-Lewin, I think we agree that you would probably stick, at least for Arsenal, Manchester United, I suspect.
Yeah.
However, in that same bracket, you can have Danny Ings, who's got Villa, West Ham, Norwich and Newcastle, and then Arsenal in the next five. So,
but if you don't already have Danny Ings, what are you doing?
Well, a lot of people got off of him, Sammy. Three or four blanks. There was a lot of love lost for Danny Ings. There's a hell of a lot of managers that kept him, but there's quite a few that got off him. You'd be surprised.
Wow.
There you go. So Everton, looking...
Split.
I think defensive assets probably need to go in that next four or five. But Dominic Calvert-Lewin, if you've got Richarlison, probably hold.
While we're talking about him, let's give Harry a bit of praise. Harry.
Oh, did you lose your bet with FPL tips?
Yeah, so...
You owe him. You got to send him a mug, haven't you?
Yep, so I'm going to send him a mug. But Harry's also running a half marathon. Did you know this?
Is he really?
Yeah, he texted me and said, don't worry about my mug. You can give me a donation to my half marathon. And I said, I would do both. So if I owe him a mug, I'll also donate to his half marathon.
Good lad. Because... Go and check out FPL Tips on Twitter, guys. At FPL Tips with a Z at the end. FPLTIPZ. Go check out Harry on Twitter. FPL Tips running a half marathon. Good lad. Absolutely
and
good lad.
We'll have a Chelsea mug winging its way to him for winning our bet.
Very good. Crystal Palace, not a lot to discuss, is there? They don't score enough goals and they're in deep trouble because of it. They don't
keep enough clean sheets.
They do keep plenty of clean sheets, they just don't score enough goals.
When was the last time they kept a really good clean sheet?
I don't know, and I'm moving on. Let's go to...
What was this that we give Watford?
Sheffield United 2, for good reason. Palace are absolutely rubbish. Sheffield United 2, Bournemouth 1. Now, Mr. Lundstrom.
Come on, my lord.
Mr. Lundstrom.
The lord has risen.
What the hell? Guys, get in the live chat. Get in the comments of the YouTube video. What are you doing with
Praise
it?
The lord. Yeah, the lord is back.
But listen, that is... When that goal went in, I just started to think that season 19-20 of FPL is the most trolly season, the most piss-take season of FPL ever, because everything about getting out Lundstrom out of your team made absolute sense. If you sold Lundstrom ahead of game week 26, I think it made absolute sense because he's out of the team. They've just bought Sander Berge. He's 22 million, so he's obviously going to get a game. He's in Lundstrom's position. Lundstrom's had like contractual discussions that haven't gone that well with Wilder, etc., etc. He'd been dropped the last couple of games. He then gets dropped for this game, so you're thinking, this all makes perfect sense. Comes on and gets a goal. I mean, what the hell? So now...
But that's very Lundstrom-like. I don't know what quite the word is for that, but don't you think that...
It's not Lundstrom-like to come off the bench and score a goal. It's Lundstrom-like to start and play well.
Yeah, but don't you also think that it is... He is that sort of character, I think, that he came on in that game and as soon as he walked on the pitch, I just had a feeling he was going to do... We had one of your friends here, didn't we, that afternoon? And I was like, okay. Because I just had a feeling he had that look about him as if to say, like, I'm fed up with sitting on the bench. I'd prove a point. And he was like, he was unlucky not to get something before he scored that goal. And then obviously scored the goal. And
so what happens now?
Because I don't know.
He's now surely, he ain't going to do that. He's not going to do that every week, is he?
No.
So surely now he's one of those players that's going to be starting on the bench and he'll come on. And most weeks, all right, not this week, but most weeks he's going to get 1 point. And he's going to be in a lot of people's starting 11s, particularly in game week 27 when they have a nice home game against Burnley. And of course, he blanks in 28. So another good, very sensible reason why people that wanted to get rid of him got rid of him, which for me was a very sensible decision.
I just think that there are certain games where Lundstrom will start when they want to go and attack.
Big shout that.
When they want to go and attack, those sorts.
So who's going to drop out? Berger?
Maybe.
No, it's paid 22 million for him. He's going to play every single game. And by the way, has looked pretty good since he's come in.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything wrong, but I just think that there are certain games where they're games that Lundstrom... Now, Wilder's comments are interesting because he sort of said, you know, he hasn't done anything wrong, he's working really hard, he comes off the bench and he does stuff for me, and I can't work it out, Lee, is the reality. I don't know.
Keep in or selling, Lundstrom?
I think I'm going to keep him.
Oof, okay, all right. Well, I sold him last game week. I sold him. So when he popped up for that goal, I was thoroughly, thoroughly peed off because...
Whereas I started
honestly,
him.
Everything sensical made sense. If you're playing FPL the way that I think you should play FPL...
What? Not the way I play it then.
Listening to all the press conferences, looking carefully at the transfer market and who's coming in and whose position they're going to take, doing a bit of background research with Sheffield United fans about... whether Lundstrom, you know, what's happening behind the scenes with Lundstrom, doing all that research to then make the right decision because he's benched and then him come on and score was like, what the hell? What the hell? So yeah, I'm annoyed about that. But anyway, Sheffield United, if you're on them, if you're on any of the other guys, Stevens, Egan, O'Connell, any of those guys, if you've got Fleck up front, if you're even on somebody like McBurney for whatever reason, stick, I think, for that Burnley game and then think about getting ready for 28.
Yeah. From a Bournemouth point of view, and I think there should be mentioned, I did a post on the Scout Insta about Ryan Fraser, who actually the underlying stats for Ryan Fraser are really, really good. Now, it's really intriguing to me because actually I hadn't even noticed is the reality. Like he had gone totally under my radar until I was using the members area on FF Scout to kind of have a look at it. Now,
bring him in?
Well, they don't blank. They don't blank.
True. Yeah.
He's relatively cheap in comparison to some other, because he's dropped quite a few.
Burnley bits. Away, Chelsea home, Liverpool away, next for him.
I mean, Liverpool is not ideal, obviously, but Burnley, you never know what kind of Burnley's going to turn up. I just think Bournemouth, in the same boat as we were always talking about somebody else before, Aston Villa, they've got to start winning some games. They've got to start getting some points on the board because they are down that end.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Ryan Fraser seems like the only one that's got any underlying stats to back him up.
Okay. I repeatedly said that Sheffield United have got Burnley at home next. They haven't. They've got Brighton at home.
Brilliant.
Which actually arguably better.
Yeah, Brighton can't go away.
Brighton travel is arguably better. Yeah. A couple more games.
You're Burnley obsessed, you are.
quick look at the Liverpool game then, because we have to talk about Salah and Mane and Mane and Salah and et cetera,
et cetera. Oh, if only that Trent to Firmino had gone in right at the death.
Well, that was... you had your head in your hands, didn't you? And I did as well, because we needed that to kill the game off, because, I mean, it was a fascinating game. A fascinating game. I thought Norwich worked so hard. And they, you know, despite, if you looked at the stats at the end of the game, you know, Liverpool, something like the high teens in terms of attempts on goal, and those that were on target, about five or six on target, Norwich, you know, low possession, low shots on target, but they just hung in there. And it took Mane coming on, and what was a very, very well taken goal in the end, a very well taken goal, for us to win the game. No, there was no mistakes by Norwich, you know, there was, I mean, we pummeled the goal, but, you know, a couple of nice saves from Krul. And in the end, we just ground out another 1-0. We'll talk about Liverpool in a second. But Norwich, for their part, was there anything about that that you thought, I want to get on them? But, I mean, realistically, they are still adrift at the bottom of the Premier League by 5 or 6 points. They do look doomed, I'm afraid, Canaries fans.
My honest reflection on that game is that had Dennis not decided to rear his ugly head, is that that game wouldn't have taken Mane to come on late on and score the goal.
You think we would have scored before that?
I think there was a lot of issues in that game with... I mean, you saw that shot that... Who was it, the Norwich player that had that shot that wasn't really any... It shouldn't have gone anywhere near the goal, and all of a sudden it was...
Tetti, yeah.
Yeah, and it was like...
Hit the post, didn't it?
Yeah, the whole way that game was played was wind-adjusted, I think is the best way of putting it. Like, there was very few shots outside. Like, Liverpool normally shoot on sight. Wherever you are, get an opportunity to shoot. And that's what we love about Liverpool as FPL managers, is that they're not afraid to kind of have a go, just have a go, have a shot on goal. And we didn't see quite as much of that in that game against Norwich. And when Liverpool play Norwich away from home, I fully expected that to be a whitewash. And I think, had the weather not been a whitewash, it would have been.
Okay, so where do you stand on the Salah versus Mane debate?
No, I'm sticking with Salah.
You're sticking with Salah?
I don't
okay.
think that
And
they're...
Firmino, right? You're still on Firmino.
Yeah, and Firmino is going to stay for a while as well. I think the fixtures are still nice for the long term. I still think there's goals available to Liverpool for sure. I cannot get into this whole flip-flop between Mane and Salah, because whatever happens, they are going to annoy you. If you flip-flop between them, they will annoy you, because one of them, they never really score together. One of them gets points in one game, then the next week it's the next one, and then it's back again. And it's the same always with them. They very rarely both score points in a game or haul in a game anyway. So for me, I'm going to stick with Salah. I can't justify owning both of them until wildcard. And then at wildcard, I'll see where Liverpool are in terms of the league and the Champions League and everything else.
Yeah.
But for me right now, without a wildcard, I'm just staying with Salah. I'm staying with Firmino for now too. If over the next couple of weeks Firmino doesn't really do much, then he might go and I might upgrade one of my defenders instead and have two Liverpool in the back. But for me right now, there's no way I'm getting rid of Firmino. He should have had points in that game. He's been...
Do you think so? I mean, I know he missed that one towards the end, but again, he was pretty... As we expect from Firmino, he's dropping deep, getting involved in the play. It was the other two that were threatening.
But I think that... It's always the same with Firmino, isn't it? It's been like that all season. He's always going to drop deep. That's the nature of Firmino's game. And as a Firmino owner, you know that he's going to be doing that. But that does mean that the opportunities are always there. And I think, for me, he's absolutely a player I don't want to get rid of at the moment. That would be a real luxury transfer.
Yeah, not with the fixtures coming up.
Fixtures are lovely. Yeah. Form is there. Liverpool as a whole have the form. I don't want to lose him right now.
Okay, all right. Well, where I stand on the Mane and Salah thing, Mane come on. He looked happy, looked healthy, looked full of energy, took his goal very, very well.
And it was expected, right? Come on for a bit, just ahead of the Atletico game. He was going to give him some minutes. I fully expected that.
I think so. What I was really pleased about was actually the goal itself, in terms of the way that he took it. So he had to really stretch one leg to bring it down out of the sky, and he fell on his other leg and then wrapped his foot around it into the goal really quickly. Now, what I was pleased about was the fact that obviously he was out with a hamstring injury. Now, if your hamstring is a bit iffy, you ain't doing any either of those things.
No,
either pulling
true,
it out of the
true.
Sky or whipping it in the bottom corner like that. Your hamstring will ping.
Yeah.
So the fact that he got through that, he looked fine, he looked happy and healthy, good. If you held on to him, I think you keep him, no question.
Oh, yeah.
But if you've got rid of him to bring in Salah, or if you've got Salah, I think, yeah, hold on to him too. Because Salah, I mean, look, fine in the game.
Yeah.
On another day, he would have had points. Wasteful again in a very Salah Son kind of way, as we discussed before, but nevertheless getting into those positions, so I don't see it as a problem, right?
Talk to me about Jordan Henderson.
Yeah, interesting, right? Because interesting. As Super Tiger actually is saying in the live chat, Henderson, last five game weeks has been impressive. I'll tell you what, he has.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about...
But not just impressive on a pitch, which is normally what we get, but impressive from an FPL point of view now as well.
Yeah, so I think four attacking returns in the last five for Henderson.
Mm.
Notice that it tends to be when Klopp, certainly in the last couple of weeks, it's when Klopp has bought on Fabinho. So when Henderson, when Fabinho's not there, Henderson will sit and he'll work really hard and he'll patrol in central defensive midfield. And he does a bloody good job at that, by the way, given that that's not necessarily, you know, we've bought Fabinho for that role. And actually Henderson does it as well, dare I say, better than Fabinho. I don't know. I mean, we were fantastic while Fabinho was injured. We didn't concede a goal, I think, other than one against Jimenez. So Henderson plays fantastically in that role. Then when Klopp brings on Fabinho and says to Henderson, right, that gives you license to go forward a little bit, he's pinging balls over. And I tell you, he always looks for that ball, that little dinky ball over to Mane or Firmino or whoever that's just made that, not even a diagonal run, just a sort of slightly angled run in behind the centre halves. He always looks for it. It was also another moment where he pulled off an absolute pearler of a pass, cut through the whole of the Norwich team out to Trent Alexander-Arnold. Henderson's range of passing goes unnoticed, in my opinion. I think he's a fantastic player. Obviously, I think he's a fantastic player. FPL-wise, I'm just not sure if you're going to spend one of your three Liverpool slots on him.
Okay,
that's the challenge.
So, in order to own three Liverpool players, the reason I ask about Henderson is, in order to own three Liverpool players, you're either probably going to go with Trent and Robbo at the back, or Van Dijk, I suppose.
That's, yeah.
Pick two of three. So that's going to cost you somewhere in and around the 13 million-ish bracket, depending upon which two, a combination of those you go for. Or you go for the double up in the middle, and then you've got to spend like half your budget, or quarter of your budget, on Salah and Mane.
Yeah.
Or you stick Firmino in, and then you've got to spend another nearly 10 million. So either way, if you're going for the three, which I think most of us are, that is a massive, massive amount of your budget.
Yeah.
Jordan Henderson is much, much cheaper in terms of owning him. And therefore, if you wanted to have the likes of Aubameyang, Aguero, a premium striker, plus own KDB and Salah or Mane.
Could we,
is it silly to use a third spot on Jordan Henderson?
My view is, don't cut corners with Liverpool. Don't cut corners. We are the best team in the league by a long way. We've got best, if not second best, fixtures coming up over the next five game weeks. So between now and when we, touch wood, win the league, we're going to be all out. Do not cut corners. If you want Salah and Mane, if you've got the budget to have Salah and Mane, go for it. Go for it. If you haven't, then get three of the players that are going to, you think are going to get you the most FPL points. Yes, Henderson's chipped in with a couple of assists and what have you, and some FPL points recently. But trust me, now that Mane's back, Robertson will come into his own again. And I bought Robertson in this game week, mainly ahead of this run of fixtures. Now, I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that Mane stays fit, because the relationship that Mane and Robertson have down that left-hand side is absolutely incredible. Notice that Robbo wasn't bombing on quite so much when he had Ox or Origi or Minamino there, because he doesn't quite know what they're going to do. Plus, he doesn't understand Minamino's game yet because he's too new. Ox doesn't track back as much, and Origi doesn't track back full stop. So Henderson doesn't really bomb on. Mane is an absolute beast. Not only is he brilliant going forward, but he'll track back and cover as well, which leaves Robbo to go on the outside. So I've got Trent, he's sticking. I've had him all season, not going anywhere, and he needs to be one of your Liverpool three, in my opinion. I've got Salah. I think it's sideways to go to Mane, so I'm happy to stick with Salah. And I've got Robertson now, and I think those are the three that I'm going to have over the next 5 or 6 weeks, because I do think Robbo's going to come into his own and get into those areas where he's going to get those crosses in the box and create those chances. Now, we saw that. Obviously, Mane didn't play the whole game, but Robertson, 3 bonus points at the weekend with no FPL, no assists, no goals or anything. So just in the positions he's getting, just with the underlying BPS that he's getting from his overall style of play, is getting the 3 bonus points. So something to look out for there. I think Robertson is a really nice pick for the next few weeks. Really nice pick. So there we go. That's Liverpool covered. So we've got time for, Sam. Literally, we could talk about loads more. Danny Ings scores again in a game where Southampton lose 2-1. Feel like it's Groundhog Day.
Doing losing in that game.
What's Danny Ings doing for the first goal? First Burnley goal, by the way, the Westwood goal. He sort of gets out of the way a bit. This is absolutely bonkers. Then Arsenal 4, Newcastle 0. Again, given the blank coming up for Arsenal, I don't think I can sit here and confidently say, you know, well, Aubameyang, get on him. He's too expensive. He's got a blank in 28. You can't sit here and say Pepe.
They're not consistent enough either. So they've got a blank. All right, they've had a great result today, but they're not consistent enough. So why would you spend that level of money on them?
Okay, there we go. So those are the games. Of course, we've got two left. We've got Chelsea versus Manchester United, which is a humdinger of a game. And given what's happening now with the Manchester City saga, the fourth and fifth place is... I mean, fifth is going to be hotly contested now, potentially. So Chelsea and Man United, that is going to be a hell of a game tomorrow night. And then, of course, City do play at home to West Ham on Wednesday, which we were expecting to be a bloodbath when it was going to be on 10 days ago. I think we're still expecting it to be a bloodbath on Wednesday, from what I can see. West Ham, if they defend the way they did against Brighton in the last game week...
Doesn't part of you just also think, the way that this game week's gone, Pep will just troll us all and bench them all?
Well, listen, they've got a pretty damn difficult Champions League game coming up, have they not? Manchester City against Madrid. So,
yeah. Plus a fixture against... Who they got next weekend?
I don't know. Let's have a look. Let's have a look. Here we go. Man City away at Leicester.
So they've got to go to Leicester. Then they've got to go into the Champions League game the following week. I mean, Pep...
Could Pep troll us all?
Pep, well, he trolls everyone. Anything can happen with Pep. He'll either play all of them and go all out for that West Ham game, in which case total bloodbath, or they all get benched.
Could anything can happen. Anything can happen. Let's have a look at our teams then for the weekend. Let's start with you then. Game week 26 so far. Here's the team.
It's a shower of...
Careful, don't swear.
I was trying to think of an appropriate word to put in their play.
37 points, giving you a total of 1,570. When I say you doubled your rank, that suggests you're doing terrible, but you're not. You've just doubled your rank from 836 to 1.3K. So still absolutely storming it. But yeah, a difficult game week, no doubt about it.
I feel like it was... I can't even be annoyed about it. Like, I genuinely look at that team and I feel like it's a week of just what could have been.
Yep.
Firmino, Trent, Salah... Dele.
Trent to Firmino would have been...
Trent to Firmino would have set me off.
If he'd have scored that was a howl.
Salah had a couple of misses that he should have scored.
Dele Alli could have had a hat trick. Holgate clean sheet. Pickford lets it in.
I just feel like it was a whole week of what could have been or what should have been, and I can't dwell on it. And I'm not even upset about it. Like I look at it and I think, yeah, that's just bad luck this week. And we're going to have game weeks like that. And it can't all be green arrows every week, because otherwise I'd win. And it's not going to happen. So I take them, I look at them, and I think I still like the look of the squad. Like at one point this week, I thought, maybe I should... Okay. And then I looked at them and slept on it. And I woke up and then I thought, no, actually, I still like the look of them. So... I still feel like it's fine. I've got two free transfers going into next week again.
Oh, you've got two in the bank, okay.
Yeah, because I only made one last week, so I've still got two. One of them's going to be Bolly, definitely, this week.
KDB to play, right? So
yeah, but everyone else has got Aguero and all of the Man United players and the Chelsea players, and going to be a definite red. And it'll probably be... it's the level of red it's going to be. Okay. If I stay within the top 2K, for me, that will be an absolute result this week.
Okay. All right, very good. Anthony Gary, one of our new patrons. Anthony, how are you doing? He's saying, Sam's right to be upset about Dele. Should have had a hat-trick in that first half. Absolutely very, very wasteful. Very wasteful. And the guys are saying, why do you keep saying about Holgate, clean sheet? Yeah, you're right. Didn't play that. Didn't play that long.
No, he wouldn't have. And actually, at the time, I was really annoyed that he came on, because I was like, could have had one of my bench players off the bench. But then obviously Lascelles didn't exactly set the world alight today, who would have come on in his place. So I'll take the 1 point from Holgate.
In our defence, it was bloody ages ago.
And also in our defence, we didn't watch that game.
Correct, we were out, weren't we? I remember seeing the team sheet on my phone and thinking, right, Everton home to Palace, clean sheet, no problem. Palace don't score any goals. Where the chuffing hell's Holgate? What are you doing? He comes on for 4 minutes, ridiculous. Let's have a look at my team. It's better. So 52 this game week is pretty good. I'm pretty happy with that. Previous overall rank was 81k, going up to 63k now.
Nice, very nice. Quite
rightly say, United and Chelsea got to play. I haven't got any of either of those. City have got to play, and I've only got KDB left to play. I might end up being about par. We shall see. But
no,
right,
you're
now,
not going to drop down 20k.
Let's see. Let's
You'll
see,
lose but, a bit, but you won't lose. You won't lose 20k.
Maybe not, but for now, 52 is good. So I'm more than happy to stick on 52. Obviously, Robertson coming in. Obviously, disappointing to lose Lundstrom with him scoring a goal. But I still, for all the reasons I mentioned before when we covered that game, I feel like I've done the right thing. I'm on double Liverpool defence now, which I think is absolutely where I want to be for the next 5 or 6 weeks. Robertson picks up the 9, is my transfer in this game week, so obviously I'm happy about that. Grealish with the assist, dropped a little bonus point right at the end there when Son got his jammy goal. Nothing from Traore, given he was benched to start with, which was a bit disappointing.
He was unlucky though when he came on not to get you something.
Yeah, a little bit. But actually, the way that that game went, I was really knocked actually, because if Adama Traore had stayed on the bench, Soyuncu would have come off my bench for
right.
7.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I benched Soyuncu first sub. And had Traore not played, Soyuncu would have come on for 7. But
well, you never know.
Then's the breaks.
Pep trolls us all. He might come on for KDB.
He could come on for KDB. You're absolutely right. So Salah captain, obviously a fail. But my front line outside
2 million
of
us.
Yeah, but outside of Vardy, my front line doing well. Dominic Calvert-Lewin and obviously Danny Ings doing very, very well.
Ings doing Ings.
So I think. Well, Ings is going to stay. I think Vardy probably stays, given he's got the game in 28. And Dominic Calvert-Lewin, despite the difficult fixtures as they look to turn, looks like he's in nice form. So I think my front line is probably going to stay as is. If anything, I still want to work on that defence.
How many transfers you got?
Certainly, I got one transfer for next week. Loads of money in the bank, as you have, I guess, from the Mane downgrade a couple of weeks ago. And I had the transfer for 26 and the transfer for 27 in my mind as I need to sort my back line out. Because I had Lundstrom, who was getting dropped and got the blank. I got Rico, who's absolute guff. I got Soyuncu up until this week, hadn't looked great for Leicester, and without Ndidi, I don't fancy them. And obviously then I had Trent, etc. So I still feel like my defence needs some work. I've got a feeling Holgate to Bolly is going to be on for this week, and I suspect you might be thinking the same too. But there we go, 52 points this game week so far, pretty happy with that. Green arrow up to 63k, and we go on, guys. Let's have a look at the answers to the poll questions before we go. So let's have a look in the polls.
I'm a bit upset the cat hasn't come down to say hello to
the cat. You've kept the door open, so normally the cat would be in it, all over it, wouldn't he? But clearly not. Let's see. So, Sam, best budget defender for the next 5 weeks. Bolly, Taylor from Burnley, Lascelles, or Stevens from Southampton?
I actually think that they're pretty much all good options, but I'm going to go with Bolly just because of what we've said about him all this whole stream.
Well, the guys agree with you. 67% going Bolly. He looks like a real good pick right now. And what's great about Bolly actually is because he's not been in the game all season, he's not going to be in any dead teams.
No.
So anyone bringing him, I can see his ownership obviously creeping up, but I can't see it flying up. If this was game week 2, we'd all be going, oh, Bolly, and fly on him. But I can see him being a reasonable differential for some time, mm-hmm. actually. So, Bolly 67%. I think that's a really nice shout from you and from all the guys. Lascelles at 16%. Stevens 12%. Taylor in at 4%. Surprised Taylor not getting a little bit more love on that, actually.
It's because Burnley are so hit and miss.
They are, aren't they? Actually, don't fancy him much as a player, Charlie. So, I might be doing him a bit of a disservice there. But No, the times that I've watched him, I think he's looked a little bit ropey at fullback. Which goalkeeper for the next few weeks? Dubravka, Foster, Henderson, Pope, or Patricio? Where would you go? Newcastle's fixtures are nice,
Dubravka?
Aren't they? Dubravka, Foster, Henderson, Pope, or Patricio? Bear in mind, Henderson's got all these blanks to navigate,
Dubravka,
isn't he?
And Henderson rotate really nicely when Henderson doesn't play, so I'd go Dubravka.
Dubravka, interesting. All right, well, 35% of you guys still going with Henderson. Despite the fact he's got no game in 28. And I guess with a goalkeeper, it's a little bit easier because you've got the option to just switch him out if you're playing with the two goalkeeper strategy, right?
Yeah, that's why I'd have Dubravka
and Hendo, they're nice. So 35% Henderson, 25% Pope, keeping the faith with Nick Pope. 16% Patricio, tied with Dubravka, 16%. And Ben Foster, second most clean sheets in the league, isn't he, Ben Foster?
Which is interesting when you think about that Pope is so high on that one when Charlie Taylor wasn't.
Yeah, interesting. Foster only in at 5%. Best Vardy replacement, DCL, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Jimenez, Ings, Firmino or Aubameyang. Who do you think?
I'd go Jimenez if I was going to replace him.
Jimenez, all right. 43%. The guys agree with you. 43% Jimenez. Ings, 28%. I think Ings is a must-have, isn't he, at the minute? Look pretty sharp at the weekend. Despite Saints looking defensively a bit frail, he seems to pop up with the
he
goals.
He can't defend,
he?
Is what we learned.
He can't defend from corners, but he can score goals.
Yeah.
Danny Ings, 28%. Aubameyang, 11. Firmino, 8. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, only in at 7. Those
that
fixtures really
me, putting
people off.
Yeah.
Really putting people off those fixtures.
Anyone would think we live together where we spoke in unison then.
Tell me about it. who's the priority sell for blank game week 28, Sam? So ahead of this game week that we've got coming up where Villa, Sheffield United, Man City and Arsenal all blank, what's the priority? Is it getting rid of your Villas, like Grealish? Is it getting rid of your Sheffield United defence, like the Lundstroms, the Hendersons and people like that? Is it getting rid of your Man City attackers, your Agueros, your KDBs, your Mahrezes? Or is it getting rid of your Arsenals, like your Aubameyangs or anybody else? Where's the problem? Which is the priority problem? Aston Villa, I would say.
It's either Villa or Arsenal.
Okay, Aston Villa, let's say. Pretty split, actually. Interesting, pretty split. So your hesitation was warranted because 30% of you guys are saying the Man City players, actually. That's
value,
what
and that's what was putting me off. That was why I was ordering on Arsenal, because it's the cost of benching them.
Sure, so the Man City midfield and attack, 30% of you guys going with that as the main problem. 26% then saying Arsenal. 22% saying Sheffield United and only 20% saying Aston Villa. So you guys showing a bit of faith in Mr. Jack Grealish.
I also wonder whether that's because if you own Jack Grealish, it's only Jack Grealish at Aston Villa, whereas you probably own multiple of Sheffield and City.
Quite possibly.
And Arsenal's just expensive because you've got to own Aubameyang if you're there, I guess.
But nevertheless, pretty split across the board.
Because I think no one knows what to do.
I think it's a really nice question, actually, from Charlie King. So thank you, Charlie, for the question on Instagram. Really, really good.
And what's frustrating, actually, in some ways, is that that blank comes ahead of those FA Cup fixtures, which fall between 28 and 29. So we're not even going to have an indication yet as to whether the sides... Because if you've got blanks from, say, Man City, who then going to blank again, it might make a change to your decision, but we won't know that until after we've locked our teams in for, and the game week is finished in that blank game week 28.
You're absolutely right. A quick shout out to our patrons. Thank you, everybody, that continues to support us over on patreon.com. All the links in the description below. Go check it out once we've finished here on FPL Family. Sam, you were leading the way in the February Manager of the Month after your sensational game week 25.
I thought we had a deal. I thought he was going to let me win this one, so Lee had to buy me a Toby shirt, but it seems not.
It seems not, because actually, the screen is very small, so I'm going to go very close to my screen. Nick Penwarden with a phenomenal game week score, 63, by the way, 63 points, up to 142 for February,
nice.
So very, very,
very
good
nice.
Indeed. Kyle Brett coming out of absolutely nowhere, up from 26 to 3rd in the February Manager of the Month, with a game week score of 60. Antonio in at 4th, Samuel Hawkins in at 5th,
nice.
Mark in at 6th, and Scott Schrager, a long time patron. Scott, thank you for your support over the months, up there in 7th. So still all to play for, although I will say Nick pulling out a little bit of a lead ahead of yourself and everybody else. So at 142, Nick is in first place. 126, I think you are there, Sam, or maybe 128, can't read it on the screen. And then after that, it's 125, 124, 22, 22, and 21. So very, very close between second and seventh. But Nick up there in first, got about a 14, 15 point gap there. So
very, nice.
Very reminiscent of the Premier League as it looks right now.
And just a little thank you to our patrons for our Ohana pod this week.
That was good fun.
Yeah. So whenever there's an international break, or indeed apparently a winter break,
yes.
We do a Ask Us Anything pod over on Patreon for our patrons, and their questions these guys come up with are hilarious. Like, we're genuinely
beginning to wonder what sort of headspace some of them are in, actually.
Well, I know
some of them are clearly
crazy,
yeah.
But we love recording those, don't we? Because
really
we literally go into them and it just is us. In fact, one of these days we should record it, because it would literally just us collapsed on the floor for most of it, because it's so funny.
Well, we managed to put the Crystal Palace striker crisis to bed, didn't we? I mean, we've sorted that out.
Yeah, and Wanyama, we know where he's going next.
Wanyama, yeah. What was your transfer?
He was going over to Messi, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. If you could have any player at your club, who would you have?
And
who would you sacrifice in your current first 11? And you were like, Wanyama out, Messi in. Can't argue with that. Do you know what I mean? Can't argue with that. That's absolutely brilliant. I started thinking about, well, you know, if I had Mbappe, then which of the front three would I lose? And I was trying to think of it seriously. You were just like, Wanyama, you're gone. Lionel getting in. Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Right, guys, that is it for another FPL family. Thank you very much for joining us. The only thing we've got left to say is look out for us later in the week on the Fantasy Premier League podcast.
No, I'm not in the top 1K. We'll go on a show.
What? Yeah, I know. We could have gone on the show last week when you were in the top 1K. That would have been good. But you're still in the top 1.3K right now, Sam, which is not a bad place to be. So we're going to be on the show, as you're saying, this week on Thursday night, or on Friday night, for those of you that are in the UK to watch it via the app. I'll be on the FPL podcast with Mr. James Richardson on Thursday, which will be live on Friday. So look out for the links for those. And of course, there'll be another FPL Family Ohana podcast on the Friday as usual. There we go. That is it for another FPL Family. Thank you very much for joining us, guys. Been a long old slog this game week, isn't it? And we've still got games to go.
I shouldn't say this because obviously I love FPL, but genuinely, game week 26, I'm so over you. Roll on game week 27.
You're so over it. Game week 27 needs to happen.
Come on, game week 27. And we start with Spurs. There's no better place to start. I know your game week, is there?
Goodness me. There we go, guys. Thank you very much for joining us. Leave us a like before you go. If you're new around here, hit that subscribe button. We're nearly at 10K, so we'd love you to hit that subscribe button. And we'll see you this time, next Sunday, 8 p.m. for another FPL Family. Cheers, guys.
See you later.